In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
Family, how are we doing? Woo! Yeah! Can you believe this morning? Oh, it's like my favorite when there's that little bit of chill in the air. Oh, so good. For those of you I haven't met, my name is Brad Linder. I'm the Student Ministry Discipleship Director here at LifePoint Church. And as amazing as this morning is, it only serves as notice. We're running out of summer, y'all. But it feels like we just got started, right? Like it feels like just a couple weeks ago, I was putting on shorts and now I'm starting to wear layers. You know, our kids are going back to school. Pumpkin spice everything is already here. Like it's August, y'all. I love pumpkin spice as much as the next girl, but dang. You know, and we're trying to squeeze those last few vacation days in, you know, the PTO, earn it and burn it. Trying to get those last few beach days in. How many of you during the summer, you plan at least one beach trip, whether it's a day trip or you go for a week? Yeah, gotta love living in Maryland, right? Yeah, solidarity, beach trip. Now, I'm not a big beach person myself, but I do like going. I like it when I'm there. You know, my ideal beach trip is a chair, a book in my hands, and the sand in my toes. Vacation Brad cannot be bothered. And you know, every now and again, I put my book down and I'll just stare out at the expanse of the ocean, or I'll listen as the waves come crashing in, and it's just so peaceful, right? Until you look over and you see somebody run into the water, like they're gonna go swimming around in the ocean, and I just wanna run up and say, you've seen Shark Week, right? Like nothing good can come of this. Because there's stuff in the water. You get in and something brushes across your leg. Is it seaweed? Is it a jellyfish? Who even knows? Can't see anything in there. And then the deeper and deeper you go into the ocean, the crazier things you find there. There's sharks and stabbing fish and screeching eels. All kinds of craziness. You know, the deeper and deeper you go into the ocean, the more prepared you have to be for the hazards that you might find there. And relationships are kind of like the ocean, right? Like they look great from a distance. We love relationships. We're designed by God for relationships. We want intimacy with other people. You know, I make myself laugh probably more than I should, but it's nothing compared to how my best friend makes me laugh. We love those connections. We celebrate friendships. Here at LifePoint, we love when people get into small groups and form community in small groups. We celebrate marriages, and we love when people work well together. Like, I'm a crier, just like FYI, I'm a crier. Like, I cry at a lot of stuff in like commercials when people are like working well together. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. And we love that stuff, but we don't have to get very far into the waters of our relationships to know, ooh, there's some stuff, y'all. There's some hazards in the water. And so over the course of the summer, here at LifePoint, we have been in a series called Relatable to help us identify some of those hazards in our relationships. But really, the goal is to go deeper, to find ways to go deeper and deeper into the relationships that we crave and that God created us for. And in order to go deeper and deeper, we have to look at some of the hazards. And today I want to look at one of those hazards in particular, and that hazard is gossip. Uh-huh, preach. Yeah, you all are really excited you came to church today. I know. Yeah, super light topic, right? But if relationships are like the ocean, gossip is one of those things. Is it seaweed? Is it a jellyfish? A lot of times we don't know what it is until we get stung. And so I think it's worth looking at. What is gossip, even though it's not the lightest topic to cover? I think the crazy thing about gossip is that when we do it, when we talk about people, you know, behind their backs, like you and I, we actually feel connected. We feel connected because connections form through stories. We feel connected when we share stories with each other. I feel connected to you when I know something about your past, or I know what you're going through in your present, or what you're hopeful for in your future. But when those stories become about other people, that connection starts to break down. It's a counterfeit connection. It's not a real connection. Because here's the thing, relationships form through stories, but they also form around trust. And when I'm willing to betray the trust of somebody else by talking about them behind their back, I'm not only betraying their trust, I'm sending you a subliminal message. The subliminal message that I'm sending you when I'm breaking somebody else's confidence is this: if I'm willing to tell you about someone, I'm probably willing to tell someone about you. If I'm willing to tell you about someone, what I'm telling you is that, hey, keep your personal stories, keep your personal information to yourself, because I can't be trusted with that. When we share stories about other people, it not only creates relational distance between us and the subject, but it keeps relational distance between us and the audience, because if I know that I can't trust you with my personal stories, I'm not going to tell you those. So we're not going to have a connection, because you won't have those stories and you don't have my trust. So because it can break down relationship on multiple levels, I think that's the reason that we talk about it. Not because, well, the Bible says it's bad and we shouldn't do it, but because the Bible is full of wisdom that speaks to the emotional reality that is gossip, the things that happen when gossip happens. I want to look at kind of what the Bible talks about today, when we're talking about gossip, in the book of Proverbs, written by a guy named Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 4 says, Solomon is the wisest person who ever lived. Now, he spoke in Proverbs. He spoke 3,000 Proverbs, just these little wisdom nuggets, you know, like a sentence here or there of just really wise, really dense sayings. And so I want to look at one of those first off. Solomon writes in Proverbs 16, a contrary person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A contrary person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. The reason I think it's so important to talk about gossip is because it separates us from our close friends. It causes relational distance. Like, have you ever found out that somebody was talking about you behind your back? You know, maybe they were spreading a rumor about you, or they were sharing information that you had told them in confidence. What did that do to your relationship with that person? You want to get real close to them? Maybe just your fist, maybe just that part you wanted to get close. I don't know about you, but if I found out that somebody was talking about me behind my back, I want to get as much distance from me and that person, between me and that person, as humanly possible. And that's gossip's job. That's why it's important to talk about, because it creates distance. It separates us from community. It separates us from connection. And the most craziest, wildest part about it is that when we're doing it, we feel connected. It's a counterfeit connection. So today I want to kind of expose the counterfeit parts of that connection, and then I want to look at ways that we can build a real connection. One of the crazy things about gossip is that it doesn't have really one definition that is all-encompassing, you know, that gives us all the dynamics of gossip. There's some really good definitions I heard when I was preparing for this, and I've heard, you know, through my life. There's good definitions if you go on to Google and Google-ate that thing. But there's not one that gets all the complexity, and that's okay. Because the Bible often doesn't give us just a static answer. What I love about Jesus is that he often doesn't give a static answer to a dynamic question. So when he's asked, who is my neighbor, what does Jesus do? He doesn't give a definition. He tells a story. Because story and descriptive language that we find in the Bible are flexible enough to move into all of our relationships with all of their different complexities. And so we may not get one clear definition, but I think we get more because of the descriptive language. I think it can fit into more situations than one just sentence definition. So if you have a Bible, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. If you don't have a Bible, we'll keep showing the rest of the verses on the screens behind me. Proverbs 26, verses 20 through 22. Goes like this. Without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. As charcoal for embers and wood for fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. We don't find a one-line definition here, but there's three things, I think this tells us, at least three things it tells us about gossip. And I want to focus on a few words and phrases. So the first phrase I want to focus on is this phrase, choice food. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. It's like comfort food, right? It's like chicken and waffles with gravy, sausage gravy, like Iron Rooster. Oh my goodness. I'll meet you there after church. Gossip is like comfort food. It's like this. That, my friends, is a Krispy Kreme cheeseburger, and it exists. I'm from Wisconsin, and we invent stuff like that to keep us from dealing with our feelings. Now, I know what you might be thinking is, that's really gross. Yeah, it's really gross, and I kind of want it. Like, just at least once. And maybe that's too off-putting for you, but, like, gossip is that choice food. It's like dessert at the end of the meal, right? Like, it tastes good, but I don't really need it. It's not going to add any real value to my life. And if I keep eating that cheeseburger thing, it's probably going to do something pretty destructive to me. That's the thing about gossip, is that it's hard to identify. It's hard to know when it's going on. It's even hard to stop because it's so delicious. I mean, have you ever kind of had your spidey senses tingle when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, have you heard about? Have you heard about Susan? Have you heard about Frank? If you're a Frank or a Susan, like, I'm going to use your name a lot, but we don't know each other. I'd love to meet you, but, like, this isn't about real people. You know, have you heard about, no, I haven't, tell me more. What's going on with Chip and JoJo now? Those are real people. I don't know them, but I know of them, thanks to gossip magazines. Or have you ever had the tension, you feel the tension of holding in a secret, right? Like somebody told you a secret, and, oh my gosh, I just got to get it out. It's too much for me to carry. It's just too heavy. And then you tell somebody, and it's like, oh my goodness, it feels so good. I've been holding that in for like 30 whole minutes. I didn't know if I could go much longer. There's something delicious because we're in the know. We have this connection with a person, but again, it's a counterfeit connection. Because if you're willing to betray somebody else's trust, you're willing to betray mine. If I'm willing to betray your trust, I'm willing to do that for you. If I'm willing to betray somebody else's trust. No matter how delicious, no matter how sweet gossip may feel in the moment, it always turns sour. It doesn't have a great shelf life. It curdles and turns sour so quick. Just some more imagery for you. And because gossip is so delicious, we can miss a lot of the other destructive parts. The next word I want to look at is this word conflict. Without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. How many times do we use gossip in place of confrontation? I heard that. How many times do we use gossip in place of confrontation? It's easier for me to go and talk to somebody else about a problem that I have with you. Because I if I tell you what's going on, you may get hurt or you may be angry with me. You may get upset. And so I want to protect that relationship. I want to protect that relationship. The way I'm going to do that is I'm going to go over here and I'm going to talk to this person about the problem that I have with you. We use gossip to kind of protect our relationships. But the problem is that relationship is already broken. If I'm not willing to go and talk to the person, well, there's nothing left to protect. You can't protect the house that's already broken into. That relationship is already broken, so what am I protecting? But you know what? Instead of gossip, we feel better about gossip because we don't have to call it gossip. We can call it any number of things because I'm not gossiping, I'm venting. We're venting. We're just getting stuff off our chest. It's not a big deal. I mean, once I get it off my chest, problem's gone. I may have just transferred it over to you, but no worries. I'm just venting. I'm not gossiping. I'm a verbal processor. Anybody else a verbal processor? I'm a verbal processor. I'm just trying to work through my feelings about this. Won't you help me work through my feelings? I'm not a gossip. I'm a problem solver. You know, Frank and Susan, they're having real problems in their marriage. And I think if you and I just talk about it enough, we can figure it out for them. We can help them. We can find the solution to make everything better for Frank and Susan. Or I'm not a gossip. I'm just joking. I'm just joking, man. Don't take so seriously. You know, he needs to get into a job and out of his mama's basement. It's just a joke. And if that's you, don't worry. I was there. I was in my mama's basement. I got out. There's hope for you, too. It's not a joke on you. It's the millennial life. I'm not gossiping. I'm prayer requesting. I'm going to Jesus juke my gossip. You know, Frank and Susan, they're just having a real tough time in their marriage. And I think we just need to lift them up in prayer that the Lord would heal whatever's going on in their marriage. And it's not a gossip because I'm helping them, right? It gets too real. You know, Susan, her kids just run all over the place. She must not know what's going on at home. She must not have it all together at home. Bless her heart. Yeah. Woo. And when it can even infect our prayer lives. And so slyly, so secretly. And the problem may be that I have a problem with you that I need to sort out. We need to talk through stuff. But you know, the ugliest part about gossip is that I use it because I want you on my team. I don't think very highly of this person. I don't think that they're a good coworker or a good employee. I don't think very highly of them as a human or a parent or a spouse. And because you and I, we're not like that, we gotta be on the same team together. We gotta watch out for people like that. We gotta watch out for people who aren't good parents, who don't take care of their kids the right way, who don't pray the right way, who don't X, Y, and Z the right way. That's the ugliest part about gossip. And because it's so delicious, it doesn't feel like we're doing that. But really, I'm just transferring over the disgust or the contempt or the hatred that I have from somebody else to you, because we got to be on the same team. In the end, conflict, it doesn't just go away when I gossip. It gets worse and worse, because when I gossip, when I'm not dealing with the problem, I'm reinforcing the way that I feel about you. And not only am I reinforcing the way that I feel about you, I'm also influencing the way that you think about another person. So let's say you're new to LifePoint. I say, hey, come over here. You see Frank over there? If you're over there, Frank, I'm so sorry. You see Frank over there? He's got real anger problems. Like, he's a real short-tempered dude, and you don't want to be around somebody like that, right? Do you start to keep an eye on Frank? I do. Man's got an anger problem. Yeah, I'm gonna watch out for him. Now, Frank's not an angry dude, but one day, you know, he's had a stressful week. He comes in, and he's just a little short-tempered. He's just a little short with people. He's not in the greatest mood. But now everything that I just told you about Frank, that he's an angry guy, is now confirmed. Because now you've seen, oh, there's the anger that Brad was telling me about that I need to watch out for. And like wood to a fire, the problem grows and grows and grows. Here at LifePoint, in any church, really, I think it's like breeding ground for that kind of stuff, for the fire to grow and grow and grow. Because I trust you and you trust me, but I also trust this other person, and I also trust this other person, and I also trust this other person. So that same information about Frank, it doesn't just go to me, it goes to everybody else that you trust. Like wood to a fire, the problem grows and grows and grows. I think to avoid this hazard, this particular hazard of conflict, there's a lot of ways that we can do that. We'll get into a little bit more later. But there have been whole books written about it. Crucial Conversations is a book that we've read here on staff. It helps us kind of identify those things. But a good question to start off with is, am I willing to go to the person that I'm talking about? Am I willing to go to them and talk to them about it? And if not, why? Because there's an emotional reality that I might not want to go to you because you're going to be angry or you're going to be upset, and it's going to cause an even bigger break in our relationship. But that problem's not going to get any better. And why do I always play out the worst case scenario? Like, anybody else? Like, I'm not a six, but if you're a six, like, you know what we're talking about, Enneagram. Like, worst case scenario, why don't I play out the best case scenario? They could be compassionate. They could be graceful. They could try to get understanding. And we're going to have a closer relationship because we actually worked it out together. I had a youth pastor that once said, we're one fight away from becoming even better friends. Am I willing to go to the person and talk about it? If not, why? Like, what's the thing that I need to work on in my own heart? So we have It's Delicious, which can make it seem difficult to identify when we're using it instead of conflict. And then there's one last thing, is this word gossip. We finally got there to the actual word. And in the Hebrew, what it's more literally translated as is talebearer or whisperer. And I love that word whisperer. Whisper is just so full of meaning, and it denotes secrecy. I think the common line of any gossip, well, not any gossip, but a lot of gossip is, hey, don't tell anybody I told you this, but. Hey, don't tell them I told you this, but. It's that level of secrecy. But it's the most ironic part about gossip, right? Is because I'm breaking somebody else's confidence, but I'm expecting you to keep mine. That's the most ironic thing about gossip, is that I'm willing to break somebody else's secret, but I need you to keep this a secret. It's a little backwards. It's a secrecy that it just breaks that relationship down even more, even though it feels like we're connected because we have a shared secret now. It's a counterfeit connection. It's a fake connection. Gossip is just the artificial flavoring. Because if I'm willing to talk to you about someone, I'm willing to talk to someone about you. Have I thoroughly bummed you out yet? Awesome. Great. Welcome to church. Listen, the thing is, it's not the lightest topic in the world. It's a little heavy, but we need to talk about it because there is an emotional reality of what it does to our relationships. So if it creates relational distance, if it separates close friends and separates us from relationship, then what's the positive? You know, how do we redirect our words in the direction of real connection, not counterfeit connection? If you have your Bibles open, turn to James 3. We need to move quick. James 3, verses 2 through 5. We're going to see how can we change this counterfeit connection? If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. And if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. Consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Just as a bit in the mouth of a horse, like I'm not a horse person, but some of you are, and you're awesome, you teach me about horses, and you put the bit into the mouth of a horse and you can direct where the horse goes. A very small rudder can direct a very big ship, and likewise, our words direct our actions. The way that we speak about people influences the way that we feel about them, and the way that we feel about them influences the way that we act towards them. Imagine somebody who comes into your office and they're constantly talking bad about their spouse. Not only are you're going to keep an eye on their spouse, or you're going to join their team and say, yeah, your spouse, she just doesn't get you, or he doesn't get you. Not only is that being reinforced in us if we go and we talk about somebody, not only does it influence the way other people think about them, but it reinforces the way that we think about that person, because the way that we talk about people influences the way that we think about them. The way that we think about them influences the way that we feel about them, our attitudes towards them, and our attitudes towards them influence the way that we act towards them. Remember Frank and his anger problem, right? Got to get Frank some help. But what I told him about you influenced how you felt about him, and how you feel about him is going to influence the way that you act about him. And so the cure, or not cure, that's a weird word. The thing that James gives us isn't, hey, you need to stop gossiping. Stopping gossip is not the point. It's not the goal. The goal, what James gives us, is this phrase, taming the tongue. And I prefer the phrase training, like I like training, because it emphasizes a length of time. This isn't like I'm going to wake up and I'm going to stop gossiping today. No, we train our words in the direction of real connection. If gossip breaks down our connections, then we train our words to go in the direction of real connection. Our words have that power to direct our actions towards other people, and to direct our connection with other people. So I have three ways that we can redirect our words in the direction of real connection, that we can train our words in the direction of real connection. The first one is silence. A little counterintuitive, and I know what you're thinking. I wish you had practiced this for like the last 20 minutes. Listen to what Solomon writes about silence in one of his wisdom nuggets in Proverbs. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is prudent. Have you ever just started talking to somebody and you're talking, and you're just, it's like, is it my turn? Is it my turn? Okay, it's my turn. And you get in, and it's like your turn to talk, and you just use all these words, and then, oh, I just said something I can't take back. I can't unring that bell. There's a truth there that when words are many, it starts to get a little uncontrollable. We start to hydroplane, And we can say things that we don't mean. And so I think the practice is silence, to take a minute to pause and to make sure that our words are exactly what we want to say. My grandfathers were both very quiet men, you know, both in World War II, and they came out of that, and I grew up with them, very quiet men. But when they spoke, I paid attention. Partially because I didn't know they could actually speak, and I wanted to like see what they could do. But also because they chose their words very carefully. I knew when they spoke that they had something to say. They had something to teach me, or they had some kind of direction, or they had some kind of wisdom. Can I be honest with you? Just real talk between family. Is that I feel like as Christians, we're silenced out a lot of bit, or like we're drowned out a lot of bit, because we talk about a lot, like there's a lot of things about Christians or Christians say, you know, we can get tuned out. Is it possible that we're in too many different conversations? What if we waited to say the thing that we really meant? What if we chose our words carefully? You know, we only get so many words in a lifetime. We're limited to the amount of words that we have. What if they were the best words? What if we waited to have the best words? What if we were a people who others took notice because we only chose to speak when we needed to? And there are times when we can't be silent, right? We cannot be silent about injustice. We cannot be silent about abuse. We cannot be silent when we have relational conflict. And so the second practice that we can do to train our words in real connection is conflict resolution, is healthy conflict resolution. And like I said, there's books that go into this in greater detail. I could spend hours talking about healthy conflict resolution. Mercifully, we don't have that kind of time. But Jesus gives us the first step, because I think we want the book. We want all the nuts and bolts, and we don't want to do the first step. So here's the first step that Jesus gives us in Matthew 18, verse 15. He says this, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, you and him alone. Yes, you can talk to a therapist, you can talk to somebody and say, hey, help me understand this. But at the end of the day, if that does not get you to a place where you are going to a person and talking to them about the problem, that relational connection will always be broken down. Gossip is a false conflict resolution. It's a counterfeit connection. And what if we were a people who, when people came in the doors, they knew exactly how we felt. Like, we knew exactly how each other felt, because we knew that if you had a problem, you would come to us and say that. I have some very direct people in my life, and far from being uncomfortable and awkward, they actually make me feel really safe, because I never have to worry what they're thinking about me. I always know if we have conflict, they're going to come to me. There's a huge reward in going to each other and talking. And the last thing is the thing that I get most excited about. Like, I want to do a whole series on this last thing. And the last thing is blessing. To speak blessing into somebody's life. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs. "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body." If gossip is delicious, it's only delicious to the audience and to the speaker. It's not delicious to the subject or the victim. But pleasant words? Man, pleasant words are delicious all around. Everybody gets a taste. They're sweet and they're health to the body. Have you ever found out that somebody was talking about you behind your back, but they were sharing good information, like they were sharing encouragement? This last week, I was having a really rough weekend. I had a really rough week last week. And I got an email. It was sent to my bosses, and I was copied on it, and it just said really encouraging things. If gossip separates us from a relationship, man, those pleasant words, those encouraging words, they make me want to get closer to that person. They make me want to be better friends, because that's somebody who's got my back. I love that. And I think we have an opportunity to speak blessing over people's lives. When we don't have the words to say, I've had people, you know, they just send me a Bible verse and they say, hey, I'm praying this over you today. That is a blessing. I just want to close with this on blessing is, you know, I tell our students and our small group leaders downstairs, you know, we can't be more fun than Disney. We can't be more exciting than Marvel. You've seen Endgame, right? Like, that's pretty exciting. We can't be more fun than Disney. We can't be more exciting than Marvel. But do you know what we can do the best here? Do you know what every Jesus-following, Jesus-worshiping church can be the best at? Is encouraging people. That's what we can be the best in the world at. There's no place like the church that can be better at encouraging people or should be better at encouraging people, because when all else fails, when all other words fails, we have the greatest blessing of all, that you are free and that you are forgiven, that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are free and loved. Is there any better blessing that we could speak over people's lives than the gospel? Gossip is a false gospel. It is bad news for people who don't need more bad news. Jesus Christ is the good news the world is waiting for. That will form a real connection. Will you pray with me? Jesus, there's a lot of injustice in the world. We see things on the news and we see things in our own lives and we just feel like, well, how do we make this any better? And there is a solution, but sometimes it's easy to get caught up in gossip and think that that's really helping the situation. It's hard to identify. It's hard to know that when we do it and how to keep ourselves from it. But would you train our language? Would you train our hearts in the direction of real connection? And when all words fail us, would you help us to remember that we're all created in your image and that we're all loved, set free, forgiven by your love for us? We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.